American businesses need more skilled workers. How do we find talent and develop it? And how do we create opportunities for everyone in our society to find a good job and build a rewarding career? You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief of Working Nation, a nonprofit media company telling stories about the future of work, the future of education, and closing the job skills gap. Work in Progress explores the rapidly changing workplace through conversations with innovators, educators, and decision makers, people with solutions to today's workforce challenges.
And in some ways, I think this situation that we're in right now with the coronavirus and a lot of school districts closing and contemplating virtual classrooms that they're not set up for, by the way, but it's going to force them to think really differently about their classrooms and education. I think that's a pretty positive thing.
Hey, everybody. It's Ramona Schindelheim, host of Work in Progress. And just want to let you know that we're doing something a little bit different beginning this week. We're going to be doing some of our interviews via the internet. And so they may sound a little different, but everybody can understand why. Joining me today is Dr. Catherine Burr, Vice President of Programs and Education at TGR Foundation, Tiger Woods Charity. Thank you, Kathy, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I've been very anxious to talk to you because you guys have something, and I'm going to start with this and then we'll get into some of the other things, but you guys have something that I think is very important in this time. You have an online, no-cost digital platform for educators and students. And so in today's remote learning, remote working kind of world for the time being, this is a very important tool, I think. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that as we started the conversation.
Early on, we realized that some of the programs and results we were getting through our TGR Learning Lab and our scholarship programs were worth sharing with a broader audience. And so we went down the path about 3+ years ago with Discovery Education to take our content and put it up online and make it accessible for educators, families, and students directly all over the world.
Tell me, where do we find it and how do we access it?
The website is tgreduexplore.org. And once you're there, it's free and pretty easy to navigate. There's everything on there from self-guided modules that students can do to lesson plans that educators can download. There are some complete digital bundles that include not only the lesson plan, but PowerPoint slides or whatever an educator might need to do this with their classroom. The other nice thing is that we're also uploading videos to the site so that if somebody's not quite sure how to implement something, they can actually look at it and get some ideas for their classroom. And that's a part of our bigger digital strategy that we're really trying to continue to build even this year.
In what age range is this? Is it K through 12, 6 through 12, or does it go to higher ed as well?
The sweet spot is 6th grade through 12th grade, but it's easily accessible. And it's also accessible for educators that maybe work in an out-of-school time environment, that maybe that don't have a teaching credential or something like that, but they are trying to do that important work of continuing education even beyond the classroom. So it's really written in a way that's thoughtful, I think, that easily accessible, you could pick up and you could teach tomorrow.
I've been to your program and I've seen the kids that come in. And for those who aren't familiar, you know, one of the things that I think is really remarkable is the hands-on type of learning or real-world learning. Can you tell us a little bit about how your in-house programs are working and then we can spread from there?
Sure. Well, it really began several years ago when I started to work for the foundation. And, you know, full disclosure, I was a school principal and teacher. And what really motivated me was this idea that people keep saying, well, the kids are bored. And I don't think that's it. I just don't think we necessarily do a good enough job of connecting young people to the purpose of school and to the purpose of what they're learning. So what we really set out to do with the TGR Learning Lab was create this space where young people could learn how to apply what they're doing in school, whether it be in English, math, science, social studies class, whatever that might be, through a series of hands-on STEM primarily based activities. And they come in and they get to choose from a wide variety of subject areas and career interests, and they get to actually try it out. So hopefully by the time they get to be their 11th and 12th grade year, they have a pretty good sense of, you know, what their future might be and where they might want to go, and also how to get there. So I think that's an important component as well.
Can you tell us a little bit too about, I saw you did forensic science and marine biology. So what are they actually doing in the classroom?
So our youngest students come as a field trip during the school day. We work with local school districts and we focus on fifth grade classrooms. And while the kids are coming in, we really are trying to promote early exposure to the concept of career so that they can understand, like in the field of forensic science, for example, there's lots of skill sets and lots of room for lots of different types of people. So they learn everything from DNA analysis to chromatography to forgery. They look at all different types of things that it would be, what would it be like if they were going to be a criminologist? And the same kind of concept in marine science, it's really about learning how to do some dissection, but also learning about the environment and the different regions of the ocean and the delicate, you know, world that we live in. And the whole idea is to get them curious and engaged. And they do that, I think, through our classes in such a way that in a lot of cases, their teachers don't even recognize their students in the classroom. Because when they come, their teachers actually go into a separate space for professional learning that our team provides for them.
I think the important thing that I observed was that not only are you helping the kids maybe consider a career that they weren't exposed to before for whatever reason, you know, they didn't know that they needed STEM for that. But there's also a decision-making and a kind of soft skills portion of this, I think.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple things at play here, particularly for young people who come from high-need communities that just don't have access, you know, and what they see in front of them are the jobs that they know, you know, teaching and being a doctor and those types of things. And there are so many, as you know, thousands of careers out there that are looking and wanting people to fill those pipelines. But we're not necessarily helping people identify their skills and what they're ready for. So I think that's a pretty important feature is if we do nothing else, I think we at least set students up to be curious about who they are and what their future can become. And it's a game changer for them. They can really start thinking about, oh, I can do so much more. And I think that's the important piece.
This is a good example of education to career pathway. It's not something that everyone has embraced yet. I think you guys are a good leader in this. Can you talk about how you feel about how we can change this and get other people to do this same idea, maybe in different programs, of course, but how do we get people to think this way, educators think this way?
Sure. And I guess the good news is I would say that I am seeing shifts in the world of after school and in education, but it's far too little and far too sparse across the country. And I mean, it really would take a wholesale change, I think, to really, you know, shift everybody's mindset to, you know, what would it be like if school was practice for work? Can we really get people to wrap their head around that? Because I think most teachers, you know, I think they understand that, you know, kids go through the system and then they graduate and then they, you know, will go off into college or they'll go off into a trade school. But they're not really embracing the fact that their role is so much more pivotal than just passing them through the pipeline. It actually is an economic driver for this country. And we really need educators to understand that it's an incredible responsibility that they hold in their hands. And so we have to shift. We can't continue to do things like we did them, you know, in the 1800s. You know, we're focusing so much more on when kids enter school, it's very clear that they lose their imagination and creativity and opportunity to be, you know, be themselves in trade for, well, let's teach them structure and how to create their binders and put the notebook tabs in and make sure you have paper. And this is the way I want you to take notes. But if we flip that on its head really and thought about, well, what if we really let young people kind of discover who they are and what they're good at, and the content will follow as they continue to be curious. So it's a pretty big wholesale shift and change. And I think some of the first things that have to happen is happening now, actually. And in some ways, I think this situation that we're in right now with the coronavirus and a lot of school districts closing and contemplating virtual classrooms that they're not set up for, by the way, but it's going to force them to think really differently about their classrooms and education. I think that's a pretty positive thing.
Interesting. It might speed up the change, at a time when, you know, we need it. But as you said, a lot of classes are not set up, and there's also a gap with kids who don't have broadband access. I think that's a really big issue in some communities.
Definitely. There's an infrastructure problem, you know, laid on top of this that will only help things if we can really band together. And I think that's really part of the conversation that needs to happen, Ramona, is not only do we need to be talking to industry leaders about preparing young people for the pipelines that are coming ahead of us, but also helping education think more creatively about how they can do their work and how can we really try to put the right pieces into place, which could be connectivity and those types of things, or could be the opportunity to do more externships and opportunities for teachers to get out into the workforce themselves and see the types of skills and things that students are needing in order to be successful. Because I think what's happening too is that a lot of folks are graduating from college and then they enter the workforce and they have to be retrained again. And so it's a time waster, and it continues to put us behind compared to other nations. So, I mean, I'm not a fool. I know there are a lot of challenges to try to really adapt this thinking, but I do think it's necessary. And I do think it's incumbent upon all of us that care about this world and education and the economy and young people to really buckle down and start looking at things really differently.
How do you cultivate the partnerships needed to get that done? Because you can't do it in a silo. No one can do it in a silo. And how have you been working with the community to provide these opportunities?
We work really hard with a variety of partners. For example, we have a really great partnership with Boeing, which really helps our aerospace and technology components and engineering in the learning lab. And what we try to do with them is understand, you know, what are the types of things that are working on now? What are the types of skills that they require of their employees? What does the workplace look like? And then what are young people doing? And we build our program around that type of thinking. So if we start with, you know, what are the types of things that aerospace engineers produce? As an example, we might talk about, you know, design of a rocket or some kind of, you know, airplane or something like that, and then kind of work around, okay, well, what do they need to know? And there's some design skills that need to be taught, and there's an opportunity for them to learn some engineering and electronics and how that kind of works together. There's a whole piece on fuel engineering and how you can build a rocket and use different types of fuels to get different types of results, and give the kids a chance to try those types of things out. But those partnerships pay off in spades, because kids come in and they do these activities that they really only read about or heard about in their classrooms, or they've done some minor experiments in their classroom. This is a chance for them to go deep and really get a sense of, oh yeah, this is something I really like, or oh, you know, this is really fun, but you know, this is not something I want to do and pursue for a career. And I think I talked to you several times about some of the students who have come through. We had a young man who started with us in seventh grade, and he signed up for an engineering class, and that propelled him to think differently about the college that he might go to. And so he went to Reed College, wonderful liberal arts college, majored in physics, had the chance to work as he was going to school for as part of the nuclear reactor there. He had amazing experiences, and now he's moved on to the University of Maryland and working on a PhD in astrophysics. And this is a young man who comes from a high need family that, you know, really, if you think about it, oftentimes kids like Edgar don't get a chance to come out of their own community. They don't have those experiences. And I think that's really one of the benefits of TGR Foundation's programs is that chance to really explore the possibilities that exist out there.
Planting the seed early can be so important. And then getting the support people need to take that seed and grow it is even more so.
Yes.
What is happening to your program, your learning lab program, for the next few weeks?
So we depend on when it's school year time, we offer programs both during the day, like we talked about with forensics and marine science. And then we run an after school program that also, you know, focuses on middle and high school. Now that the kids have, you know, virtually all of our kids locally anyway are on either a 2-week or a 4-week hiatus during this time, the school districts are all kind of struggling with how can they potentially implement an online learning experience. And I think that some districts are doing a little bit of that, but, you know, to move everybody wholesale into how to use technology to deliver a class, it's a big heavy lift for them. So we've offered our services and training services through TGR Edu Create, which is our professional learning arm, to help, you know, help teachers think about how they can structure an online learning environment. And short of that, actually just making available TGR Edu Explore so that folks know that it's there and accessible. And there's no reason for learning to stop during this time. It's a great time for them to realize all the wonderful resources that are available to them online. So we're trying to do our part there. And we actually, yesterday in Washington, D.C., had planned to do a teacher training as part of a STEM fair there, and it was postponed, of course. Instead, we shifted it to an online and invited everybody to come online and participate. And if nothing else, they get a little something out of that, and it still continues the learning, and it gives us a chance to really get to know folks and figure out how we can support them in this time.
Before we go, give us your web address again, so if anybody wants to go there and check it out.
TGREDUExplore.org.
Excellent.
And it's part of the Discovery Education suite of offerings also. And we're happy to have that partnership with Discovery and really work with them to get great resources out there for teachers and students.
Thank you, Dr. Catherine Burr, Vice President of Programs and Education at TGR Foundation, a Tiger Woods charity, for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and thanks for all the good work you're doing.
Thanks, Ramona. Be well.
You too. Today's episode of Work in Progress was produced by Larry Buell. Our executive producers are Joan Lynch and Melissa Panzer. See you next time.